interrupting the current neo-Euclidean, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 569. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. Do it pretty quick, the way they're working this thing out. It's really moving on. And last week, we were talking about the government's trying to ban the VPNs and getting around the bans and using the Tor with the Snowflake Bridge, the Tor browser with the Onion Router. Tor is the Onion Router. Tor has a new camouflage network connection to offer called WebTunnel. And this is more coming closer to even what I was thinking about Hunix. There's a create a channel, an encrypted channel that you stick inside your workstation channel, and then you stick inside that, the data channel. And so it's really hard. They're all encrypted, so it's real hard to see through this and grab the data. And this is an interesting twist on that for those of you that may go into the future wanting to have more, a little bit better anonymity and start understanding what's needing to happen here. Tor introduces a web tunnel feature to help curb censorship. Functionally, web tunnel allows Tor network connections to stay hidden in open site by appearing indistinguishable from regular HTTPS traffic as an essential camouflage in countries with strict internet regulations. Tor bridges serve as unlisted relays in the public Tor directory, enabling user connections to remain concealed, especially from autocratic regimes intent on internet censorship. So expand that autocratic to just about any government that are intent on censoring your work, your view, your contributions. Here, even though countries like China and Iran have devised methods to identify and cut off these connections, Tor has previously deployed OPFS proxy bridges offering an additional obfuscation level. However, WebTunnel breaks new ground here by merging the HTTPS encrypted web traffic, providing a smokescreen for Tor connections. A key feature of WebTunnel's design is its blend-in tactic. Emulating HTTPS would render it unblockable without also blocking the lion's share of connections to web servers. So be careful out there. As you see, the governments are working to try and defeat this. Nice to hear we at least ostensibly have people working to keep it open. Haven't heard anybody recently getting caught up using Tor and exposed. And if you're not doing anything criminal, despite that they can make you a criminal, we at least don't have ad tech coming after us, the Googles making money off your data and following you around. That little bit that they can do can't keep up with the rest of what you do is becoming as much an important consideration as what Tor started out to be. And again, just building a system that's going to be a lot more hardened against this encroachment is what it seems to be what we have to do. The governments are not stepping up. The United States government's not stepping up to protect your First Amendment. It's being argued all the time. As I keep telling you, when you have governments that argue your rights, then you've got a problem. They shouldn't even been on the table, but there they are. Also covering the civil right here, that extortion of every kind that we are supposed to be enjoying. But the provision of to make and enforce contracts is, again, apparent, and I wanted to point this out. I haven't done this before. I've mentioned social contracts before in the generic application of how they do this to us, but now it's coming out. They're telling us. That's just the basis for how they're coming at us. The World Bank and Verizon chiefs say digital ID part of social contract between government and citizens. Both organizations are pushing for digital IDs. The list of supporters and promoters of the implementation of digital ID, strongly criticized by privacy and security advocates, quite unsurprisingly includes the likes of the World Bank and Verizon. What is interesting is the way that they are explaining the push and also how to propose to make the mass worldwide adoption of digital ID as reality. There's also a corporate speak cliche in the making for all this called digital transformation journey. Didn't you hear the sustainability right in behind this, right? A recent meeting in Washington, D.C., dubbed the Global Digital Summit, saw the two prospective financial and telecommunications heavy hitters agree that governments must make digital IDs a component of what's known as a social contract with citizens. What this would mean is that citizens willingly defer to the authorities as they accept digital IDs and do this, supposedly, to their own advantage. World Bank Group President Ajay Banga seemed particularly keen on expanding digital ID adoption top-down by getting as many governments on as possible on side, who would then, thanks to the social contract idea, impose on its citizens rather than wait for citizens to, if ever, warm up to the scheme. Social contract. Look at the word contract. Go to 42 U.S.C. 1981, Equal Rights. It says to make and enforce contracts. Here it's going to be imposed on the citizen. And the citizen's going to defer to the authorities as they accept digital IDs. Fascinating how they've just pulled this together. Now, I don't know about anybody. Anybody has a thought on this, says, well, I haven't agreed to a contract. Well, they're going to impose it. They said they're going to impose it. I've been telling you that's what you're under. They're imposing this stuff. And it's to your benefit. But here, we go to the law, 42 U.S.C. 1981. Quote, the term, make and enforce contracts, close quote, is defined. For purposes of this section, the term make and enforce contracts includes the making, performance, modification, and termination of contracts, and the enjoyment of all benefits, privileges, terms, and conditions of the contractual relationship. So your social contractual relationship, just for being a token citizen now, as I've been saying, like last week and before that, being liable to the third party's obligation to sustainable development, where you have no property. This is a contract, but there's no property that you're talking about. Therefore, they don't really have to give you any due process required more than what you are given by the author of that contract. So they've positioned this thing right within your equal rights. If no one else was looking, then I can pick this up real quick and see it. And I've told you, read that section, 42 U.S.C. 1981. It's very powerful, and it's just astonishing to me in a way to be able to focus in on that so many decades and a half or even before. I'd identified it before, and it's just coming right in our face. They are going to move right through the contracts, and those are enforceable against you when they say the benefit is to your good, and they don't really give you an op. I don't know of any agreement that you're going to sign with a digital company at all, or digital product like a phone that's going to give you any sort of advantage at all. And there's a little bit of the key. So what are you gave when you're in that condition? We have a story all coming out again. All this seems to be pretty neat how it comes together in a week to tell us if we just look around. Roku is locking users out of their smart TVs until they agree to new terms that change the dispute resolution process, a growing problem with smart devices. Smart devices? What about the patented and worse here, copyright software of life in the jabs? Read into this other stuff that I've been talking about. We can here see this. U.S. smart TV and streaming devices and TV operating systems maker Roku has changed its terms of service related to dispute resolution process and has reportedly decided to lock out devices until their owners consent to the new rules. So dispute resolution process is the subversion of due process. And if you were to go and read for these savings clauses I tell you about, unless otherwise provided for in law, you're going to see that the next clause is about a dispute resolution. Ironically, back in 93, I was involved in an appeal. That was where they were implementing it. We got the court, they attempted in a judicial branch to impose alternative dispute resolution where it wasn't a part of the original claims or parties. And we got that thrown out. That appeal was won. And they changed and they moved that into agency, this dispute resolution. And that's where the sustainable development crowd sits to beat you up. So if you don't know your rights or your property that you're going to protect and you don't understand this unless otherwise provided in law, they're going to put you through dispute resolution. It's already in your administrative code in the states. As I've been telling you, they set this up long before we got here. So how much different than you being locked out of your money or what they have got you duped into as money, and now just a social contract that's obligated outside of you into the third party you're dealing with, have they got us out of our property and our ability to get into the property and can dictate our access to all of these systems? You just don't get it until you agree. Locked out of what else? Next story, J.P. Morgan to roll out controversial biometric payments. This is imposed as a part of giving you the benefit that you won't do much without. Face scanning payments are planned for 2025. Can you get this, how fast this rolled out when all the denials were up until 2 years? Denial, denial, denial. Then Covey Swindle said, oh, you can't use cash because you're now afraid of it. Because they had to get rid of that, at least for the most part, for the most people. And that's the fiat side. We shouldn't even be on that, how far back they got us. But here we have America's largest bank and one of the largest in the world, J.P. Morgan, is preparing to launch biometric payments next year and is currently carrying out its pilot project. J.P. Morgan has chosen POP ID, which verifies a person's identity via facial recognition, among other methods, as the backbone of their project. The massive financial corporation is clearly unwilling to be left behind the likes of MasterCard or Visa, who are both implementing biometric-powered payments. In the statement, the bank revealed that it is betting on biometric payments as the industry forecast to grow to 3 billion users and $5.8 trillion worth of transactions over the next 2 years. And the giant expects digital commerce to eventually cover online, mobile, and in-store checkout. To use J.P. Morgan's version, customers will have to enroll in the program and verify their identity biometrically to pay at the checkout or self-service machines. In a way, this is not even new news. It's just who is implementing it and where they're positioned in the feeding chain and the control that they're going to have. So first here, this time you have to enroll, and then you'll have to enroll. I didn't repeat myself. That's how they're going to pull this off. They're doing it right now, right in front of us. And how much easier here is it going to be to track people down with all these technocratic bioprinting if it's this easy now without it? African country seeks to recover millions lost in banking glitch. Think about the little stories, what they're telling us on how easy it is they can get us. We're not even connected to that system. Just touch that system. That's the third rail. They just touch it. They can track you down already. How much easier here with the way they got this worked out? A banking system glitch in Ethiopia over the weekend allowed customers to withdraw more than they had in their accounts, with the East African nation's largest banking bank reportedly scrambling to recover more than $40 million lost in the incident. Customers who withdrew more than they owed during a weekend system flaw will face prosecution, Ethiopia's commercial bank has warned. On Wednesday, Abe warned in an interview with the BBC that clients who withdrew more than was in their accounts would be prosecuted if they did not return the money by the end of the week. Quote, there is no way that they can escape because they are digital transactions and they are our customers. We know them. They are traceable and they are legally accountable for what they did, he said. Did that trigger anything in America about know your customer, know your this or know your that law, legislation that was done in 2001, the PATRIOT Act? It's all been here. Now consider the Siberian Gulag, the digital panopticon, the CBDC obligation to the third party obligation of your financial master controlling that social contract. When you heard that, start applying what I just read about to this. Quote, there is no way that they can escape because they are digital transactions and they are our customers. We know them. They are traceable, and they are legally accountable for what they did. Your behavior, social credit. You won't have to thought you have done anything wrong. The sustainable bureau rats of the they will be determining that. Remember, it's not your actions. It's their obligations that you're going to be violating. And then they get to adjust that social contract with dispute resolution, which may or may not allow you a way in. Do you think they'll track themselves down here if they do something wrong in stealing your tokens from you? Do you think it's a two-way street? Watch how it's all one way, because that's going to be brought into your block chained to the system, and you can't escape. We've been talking about all this. It's all in the news. It's all relative to so-called money and the way you're going to get around in the world. If we don't learn as a people to step back and get back into that tangible, what they call real money, it's actually going to be tangible property. And if you're dealing in tangible property, that's the property that you're protecting. Gold and silver coin? No, they can't take that property from you, can they? Well, they can try, and it's going to be taking people. They did it back in the 30s, and people just handed it over. Unless you had the right answer, they took it, and people just handed it. It's like you watch lots of people get the jab at warp speed. Didn't even go to due process, didn't demand to have the government, limited government power, be limited. They just went ahead and let them have it. And instead of triggering a run on the ATM machines, however, here, poverty could trigger revolt in Canada. Secret report says, Kanukistan, listen up. It's very interesting stuff this week in finances or money, if you will, how we're going to get along, and they're driving it into the bottom, and this is not limited to Canada. Just listen to the story. If you listen to anybody that's economics is talking, this is just a general global thing. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police has flagged populism and recession as risks to public order. Understand they're bringing the recessions in, and now they're claiming those are going to be a problem. Canada's economic prospects are beyond bleak and may cause civil unrest in the next 5 years, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police has said in a confidential report to the government in Ottawa, titled, quote, Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada. The report was obtained through a legal request from Thompson Rivers University legal scholar Matt Maloney, and, quote, heavily redacted version was published by the National Post on Wednesday, though even that was quickly taken down from the document sharing website Scribd. Quote, economic forecasts for the next 5 years and beyond are bleak, with Kanukistan's current situation expected to probably deteriorate further, said the RCMP report quoted by NP columnist Tristan Hopper. To corroborate the RCMP findings, Hopper pointed to a Royal Bank of Canada analysis from December, which described housing affordability as the worst ever. Only the richest 25% of the Canadians can even hope to buy a single-family home, while condominiums were entirely out of reach for 55.5% of households. Understand, your condominiums, you don't own the walls, you own the airspace inside. You're not even owning the home there, and they can't even own the airspace anymore. Pretty fascinating how bad it really is that we've been putting up with, keeping in these systems that they can control us and take away all of our value right before us, and we are just not aware of how they do it. And they get away with it. Despite the dire economic conditions, the RCMP mainly blamed misinformation, conspiracy theories, and paranoia for the fact that Canadians have become disillusioned with their government. That's right, because those are the only things creating this fiscal and monetary policy driving this economy, except not by the people. These policies are driven by those officials that don't blame what they're doing on it, and they blame your misinformation, your information, and your paranoia, and your conspiracy theories on the cause of this economic harm. It's not a government. You're going to watch find the truth of this. They're warning themselves here. The RCMP did admit that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's COVID-19 lockdowns have done damage to both the Canadian economy and the country's social fabric, at the point where another pandemic response is likely to be widely rejected. Be careful about just the general, just a general rejection. I still believe you're going to need to go back into your local laws and understand the duties that they didn't follow so that you're not rejecting what's presumed to be lawful and you're identifying still, but you're not rejecting anything, actually. Because until they do it right, there's nothing there for you to decide. How much simpler can it be, actually? And I thought COVID-19 lockdowns were misinformation and conspiracy theories, folks. What about that? From the article, quote, law enforcement should expect continuing social and political polarization fueled by misinformation campaigns and an increasing mistrust for all democratic institutions. But none of that is identified to be fueled by bad government. So I'm suggesting mistrust away, folks, is all I can say here on this. Government hates your mistrust because it only has two things to keep, your trust and confidence. It looks like Kanukistan is admitting it's already lost half the battle. The 9-page RCMP report was labeled secret for distribution only within the organization and to decision makers, in quotes, in the federal government. Talk about shadow governments. Talk about deep state. Decision makers. Talk about your administrative stranglehold. Decision makers. In the federal government. It was intended to be a scanning exercise that would look at the trends in both Canada and abroad, quote, that could have a significant effect on the Canadian government and the RCMP. So they're watching out for themselves. Yeah, the governments don't, they just hate riled natives. They hate riled natives, that's why they say they're trying to point it on you, so you know what to do. It's pretty clear. And it's not looking good. And they're telling themselves that. And they're telling you that just by being able to read it. But I've talked about alternatives. Look what's going on in the gold market. Look at what's going on in the asset side. The things you have property to grant to someone in exchange in valuable consideration. Go back to your common law contracts here. It's not necessarily... Even though it would be a gold coin, you're dealing in a property. Gold notches to new highs amid buying spree. The price of gold sprinted to a record high on Thursday. Spot gold scaled back to $2,203 per ounce after the soaring to a historic high of $22,222.39 earlier in the session. Central banks around the world have shown record-breaking demand for gold. Liquidity, safety, long-term store of value, and lack of default risk all fed into this gold grab. Well, there's your reasons right there that they need to get a hold of themselves. Remember, the central banks are fiat, but they're grabbing substance right now. They're grabbing the product, property. As I've said, maybe you should too. As BRICS countries are replacing U.S. treasuries with gold, Akash Doshi, head of commodities research at Citibank, wrote in a recent note that this situation can send the global price far higher than now. Quote, the most likely wild card path to $3,000 per ounce gold is a rapid acceleration of an existing but slow-moving trend, de-dollarization across emerging markets, central banks, that in turn leads to a crisis of confidence in the U.S. dollar. Trust and confidence. The government hates the loss of it. This is why you see, as soon as you lose that trust and confidence, you're free. Now, they're not going to not fight you, but there's the first break. So, I just, as I'm thinking about this gold and the price just went up, I just wanted to remind you, I've got a 100-acre gold mine I need to sell. It's validated by the United States U.S. Forest Service, Mineral Tech, 100 acres of ancient high bench and creek gravels, and I'm asking $1.5 million. If you just happen to know someone that might be interested, the money there is in the bank, folks. I'm in a difficult point. I don't want to sell, but I have to. But it's there. And we're talking now, it's going up $3,000 an ounce. There's a lot of ways at getting free. it's going to take some work, and you're not going to be free from fighting for that. We're not going to do it in a fiat system. You're not going to do it as a token citizen. You are going to do it, and as we've done it as people in the United States, during the hardest times, economic times, people went to find gold, and they survived. They survived very well, day to day. They had to go find it. They had to dig it up, and that's how they bought their bread. But it was there, and they could do it. They didn't do it in the fiat system. The places that were not connected to the fiat system did better with that, actually. So we have a whole bunch of things, options we can start looking at as people in states. And if not in the states, then you do it yourself. You come together with people. And that's going to be our hardest thing. I think, again, this division that's going on is talking against our ability to do all of this. So consider what's going on right now. We're watching pretty historic times at this moment. We're possibly watching the end of a system which has run its time, actually. But it means that you better be properly prepared. Do not stand on the tracks of this train rolling to the end of its line and over the cliff. See, the fiat system does not like gold, even when it's black. So we look at the turmoil around this. Or when here, controlling behaviors to meet sustainable fraud, forcing people to buy vehicles, remember, imposing upon them in the social contract to buy vehicles they won't be able to afford to replace the batteries on, hobbled by limited use, or required to ride here public transit as they want us to go, the stack 'em and pack 'em that we hear about, that is right here that they're working toward. The administration, a Biden administration, cracks down on gasoline-fueled cars. Now, we've heard this story, but it's come into the news. I thought all this was economically relevant and also based on the future that they want and how they're going. The U.S. Environmental Regulator has finalized rules that could force a ninefold increase in the market share of electric vehicles. U.S. President Joe Biden's administration has followed through on its pledge to accelerate the phase-out of cars powered by internal combustion engines, unveiling new emission rules that may force the nation's auto industry to be dominated by electric vehicles in less than a decade. Critics of the new mandates have argued that Biden is essentially forcing U.S. consumers, these are also a status, listen, read these notices as statuses too, consumers as a status, to buy cars that many don't want or can't afford. The Biden administration is deciding for Americans which kind of cars they are allowed to buy, rent, and drive, said Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, a Republican. She added that the new rules mandate an unrealistic transition. The quote, think about this, about what I've said about administrative rules, administrative procedures, unrealistic transition to EVs and threaten a power grid that has already been weakened by EPA-driven shutdowns of fossil fuel generators. So they're autonomously driving my listener to austerity by 2030 in this, if you hear, listen carefully on how they're doing this. And to now hear, you won't be able to afford the electricity either. Go look at Germany as they knock out the sources, and they took out, and the EPA is taking out the fossil fuel generators, is no different than what they did there. The price is soaring, the availability goes down, and all of a sudden we have even brownouts to charge your car. On a set of systems, the batteries are said to last only 10 years, but cost of almost a third of the price of the vehicle in 10 years to replace. So if you have sufficient social credit, you'll be able to do all this. To use the car that they want you to. Again, impose. They're telling you your social contract is coming. This digital imposed benefit is not to you. It's to Gaia. Do not underestimate what I've been saying about all this. It's right here for us to read. So, if you have no property here and like a category of your Jeopardy game of life, you don't think you're going to own that car, do you? Do you really think that? Do you own the software of it? Do you own the software of life, Alex, for all the tokens? Well, you don't own any of that. Not likely. And very soonly, is that going to be honest? You see it coming through the highest financial company in the country, the so-called largest bank. It used to be an investment house. Now they're called banks. The sustainable fraud and the unrealistic transition, go back to that, go back to administrative law here, should be enough to begin a pushback that the EPA, even at the final say here, the EPA and Biden didn't take a hard enough look, a non-fraudulent look at the matter to stop this, if you assert that. Where, if you remember what I've been talking about years and years ago about all this, where any balance under federal law must favor the needs of mankind, as you should find in that National Environmental Policy Act. They talk about mankind. If you go to the administrative rules, they only say humankind, which I find interesting, and it's a distinction. But the law says mankind, and the NEPA is a supplemental that has to be happened. And those requirements are what I've suggested to you. You assert, when you see the term unrealistic transition, you now say the EPA didn't take a hard enough look, where she also points out in the above story, it's going to hurt the infrastructure for power. And that's not, again, the national interest now is steps up, and you could discuss that to bring and pull back some of you that might want to jump in and try to enjoin this for the, because they didn't, and it, then go down the road of the consequence for not doing so. So time is now to resist before your life is significantly limited, as they told us. Prosperity is really austerity. And it's going through a social contract to a third-party obligation, to some third, fourth party, actually, that is actually the pinnacle of the control. So they're looking to move us out, but except that all that cracking down on petroleum products for the fraud of climate change is a lie when it comes to you and your freedom of mode of travel. As we can hear, the United States fears Russia retaliation strikes against Ukraine could upset global energy markets. I can almost hear some of my listeners now, why are you going over to there? I'm telling you, folks, they go over there, they're telling you a whole bunch of interesting things and how this is all integrated globally. But that title is twisted a lot here. What's really happening is self-inflicted if we read this thing. And it goes, just keep in mind the sanctions that didn't ever work, but who got affected by them? It is this story. Washington contacted senior officials from Ukraine's State Security Service and its military intelligence directorate to warn that drone strikes risk notching up global oil prices and provoking retaliation, insiders were cited as saying. The Biden administration was said to be increasingly frustrated by brazen Ukrainian drone attacks targeting oil terminals, depots, and storage facilities of one of the most important energy exporters, regardless of Western sanctions. Let me just interject right there. If he's getting rid of all these oil, internal combustion cars that don't use this oil, why is he worried? Shows you the fraud. Shows you it's just a cover. It's just, I don't want to call it an insanity because I don't want to give him an insanity defense. These are psychopaths. I don't even know what other words to call them. These are just criminals. But they use the cover and they're warm and fuzzy. We're going to save something, but it's not you. And they're going to bring you into ruin, essentially. As you're watching, they also use it to divide the people. When they know, they exactly know under international law, they need a united people that doesn't trust and confidence is their worst nightmare. Here we have, quote, "We do not encourage or enable attacks inside Russia," U.S. National Security Council spokesperson was quoted as saying. Another fear in Washington was that Russia could retaliate by lashing out at energy infrastructure relied on by the West. Why are they interested in the United States has bombed two gas pipelines? They're trying to attack that nuclear power plant that Russia went immediately to salvage, the biggest one in Europe. Why are they worried about this? Shows you the stupidity that's running the regime, stupidity that's running this country. The same one that wants to keep an internal combustion car out of your hands, but is worried about the dem bones still being in the world. The Americans are trying to maintain hegemony in the controlling energy prices. Such attacks lead to instability in the energy market, and accordingly, the U.S. won't be able to keep control of the situation. in a situation where the West sanctions doesn't work or won't work, don't work, and Russia economy is still growing, the U.S. understands that, quote, if anything causes an increase in energy prices in the world, it will not be profitable for them, the United States, especially during Biden's election campaign, agreed Konovalov. Politics, politics, many bloodsuckers, killing people and destroying economies, except the producer, Russia, as I've been telling you, watch the producers. So that wasn't a rock group or maybe the movie. Because they're trying to do to affect those producers only to maintain control, essentially, for the big guy. Look at the politics working here. That's really not a good reason to do much of anything. And yet they're dragging the whole nation into the stinking abyss. And more here, governmental non-contextual mindlessness. U.S. vows to halve Russia's energy revenues by 2030. Washington is committed to its sanction policy. And we just heard that if they don't produce, it's going to raise prices and they're worried about it. Yet here, the sanctions policy is godlike. And they're going to continue to advance it. It's just a fascination to me how mindless this really is. And they're led by someone who is telling us that they're mindless. Dementia, potentially, cognitively impaired. But this is not a mind thing. This is not a bodily thing. This is a systemic thing. All of these people are impaired. While Moscow's revenues from oil and gas sales dropped by 46% year on year in January, after the price cap was first enforced, they have since risen dramatically, dealing a blow to Western attempts to curb Russia's energy proceeds. In another effort to reduce the Russian energy profits, the U.S. Treasury Department is seeking to increase the costs Moscow has to pay to run an alleged shadow fleet of tankers that reportedly have unclear ownership and insurance status, and on which the price caps have limited traction. We offer, again, not registered in the system. They can't track this stuff around. These are little clues when you start looking at around your neck of the woods, what the law allows and what it doesn't, what it accepts from itself to be able to touch, and what it only exempts and or can't, won't exempt, is your path. This is what's really irking the officials. When you have someone that's outside the system, and can still function in a producer, they have a lot of trouble with that. So that's the model, if you will. I said, look at Russia. Before this all got here, I said, start watching what Russia's doing. All the news for 10 years before that, China too, they were preparing themselves, they were girding thy loin to watch this. They knew this was coming, and maybe they're part of the plan. As I told you, I think they are part of the follow-through to the future that they want. However, as I talked last week, but this, we're watching how they are able to deftly move around and not have any effect on them. And there's nothing, because they're not part of the hegemony, they'll call this monetary fiat system. They are not coming underneath the same type of controls. They're just asking you to come under the controls imposed upon you as a social contract. The U.S. is looking for ways to make that shadow fleet less effective, said Pyatt. But did my listener here pick up on what's important for us locally? I mean, besides that the government has lost the economic war it started, but is too exceptional to face the reality. That's the hallmark of sustainability buffoonery anyway, or worse. No, here, did you pick up on the controls of vessel, carriage, connection through registration and insurance? Where are you and your things registered and taking benefit of some of the issues given from insurance is how those potentially can control my listener. If you've been listening to me, it's the connection and control. Is this connection and control actually necessary is what I've been asking you to look at. And some of you have been reading about this and you're finding it's not even applicable, which is the worst part of this. Have you read the law, such as the Motor Vehicle Code, carefully to decide that? I ask people to do so. It comes easier when you have a particular problem. You know, I've got some people, some listeners, some friends that are they understand better this financial liability or the insurance responsibility, and it doesn't apply when you go read it closely to the code. It doesn't apply unless you're in a certain condition and a certain thing happens instead of the blanket imposition that's going on that people just accept. But when we look at that, if you look at the code, understand what I'm saying about the federalization of that in the local and the state. Would an occupying power bent on your private destruction honor the law it purports to comport itself? Or is the Zionista belligerent occupation enough evidence to the contrary when you apply what they're doing at home, as I've been saying to do? Now you consider your civil rights in the U.S. where we're presumed to take benefit of law accepting to pay exactions, extortions. They're actually wrongful extortions by definition of every kind and no other from 42 U.S.C. 1981 and not having any rights, actually, when you look at that, because it's administrative. There's no property. It's a license. You're asking permission to pursue a criminal activity. In the government, there's no property in that. And you see that you are having the rights of the Palestinian of to the right of self-determination when you're not in them. So you can take the benefit given by government to extortions, or you pull yourself out like Russia and you do your own fleet. You don't participate in the fiat system. You cut yourself loose from it. You then have self-determination, but now you're at war with those that want to control you. As I've said, this is not a war, a peace world. Speaking of significantly limited, this certainly, it must be fake news. Again, Biden knew knew Israel here. Biden knew Israel was bombing indiscriminately. But I have to observe something, if you think about that. Prosecutor Herr, in his report, found Biden incapable of standing trial because his cognitive function, his memory, was significantly limited. So first of all, wouldn't handing this question to a grand jury have been the proper course? Rather than creating a prosecutorial doctrine prejudicing justice under a presumed but without any right of rebuttal, a kindly mentally impaired old man defense regarding matters which happened prior to any known cognitive insufficiencies in Biden, to now put on him, he knew. In any regard, for now, Biden can't really be trusted to know much of anything actionable, despite WAPO's contention here. If Biden's insignificant mental function is enough of a problem for people to call and have him removed for office, as is going on, will people care that everyone else in the position of authority knew about the indiscriminate bombing of the Palestinians, the people, and the genocide going on, to make it such a priority, to make it so it was present for him, that the memory wasn't needed to take action to stop genocide? So we might hear he's a foddering fool at this point, drooling on himself. There's people around him that are not making this thing an issue up front so that he doesn't have to remember it. It's something that needs to happen to stop. It's the moral thing to do. It's the lawful thing to do. And we're not seeing the reflection in what they call the administration, the regime that perpetuates this. And what about some of this cognitive decline? In this next report, COVID-19 lockdowns caused cognitive decline. Even after the lockdown was over, accelerated worsening and memory function persisted among older adults, data shows. The study did not distinguish between those who had received the COVID-19 vaccine and the unvaccinated. A broad spectrum of neurological side effects, including cognitive impairment, have been associated with the shot, though to date no comprehensive studies have been performed on that subject, and likely going to take a while to get there, if at all. And all I have to ask Biden, is this you? Again, we have lockdown. If you're locked into an environment for any length of time, it apparently looks like it causes cognitive dysfunction. Doesn't matter that it may be a lockdown due to COVID, apparently. The media seems to be continuous in its suggestion that Biden's decline. How do they medically move Biden along without making Harris president here when she's on the outs as well? And so what I asked before a couple weeks ago, or suggested when I noticed it looked like they were going to have to move Biden out on a mental infirmity, but that brings Harris in, unless it's Michael. And that's being promoted. Nevertheless, constrained imprisonment, if you're locked down somewhere, this is the prisons, this is overnight stays, or wherever, and we find that in the little ones, that impairs your cognitive function. Very serious problem. Speaking here of the great chosen demonocracies relative to Biden New, Israel must be treated like a pariah state, ended forever, says a Jewish activist. Israeli-American activist Michael Peled has strong words for Israel, which he accuses of torture, genocide, and all kinds of crazy, sadistic policies for 76 years. The regime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, announced a trip to Egypt and Saudi Arabia this week seeking funds for Gaza's post-war reconstruction. The continued suffering in Gaza caused political misfits host John Kiriakou to suggest that Biden administration is putting the cart before the horse with the trip. Quote, first, don't we have to ensure that there will still be living Palestinians in Gaza? Asked the former CIA officer, anti-Zionist activist Michael Peled, who came to support the Palestinian cause after being born to a prominent Israel general, joined Kiriakou Tuesday to discuss the country's continued assault in Gaza. Quote, I think he's a servant of the Zionist state, of the state of Israel, Peled said of Blinken. I don't think there's any question about that. The party that needs to pay to rehabilitate Gaza is the party that created this catastrophe, which is Israel. Can you imagine any scenario on earth where the world begs Hitler for a ceasefire, trying to find the terms that are most favorable to Hitler as the genocide of the Jews and so many others is taking place in full force? Can you imagine a scenario like this? The activist recounted the similarities between Israel and the other extremist governments, noting that Israel has never had any problem with the most right-wing, anti-Semitic, fascist regimes. Throughout the Cold War, Israel retained cordial relations with apartheid South Africa, even offering to sell nuclear weapons to white supremacist regimes. This is where historical records denote a consideration. That Pretoria made preparations for a nuclear weapons test in an underground facility in the northern Kalahari Desert, allegedly after receiving help from Israel in acquiring nuke technology. Moscow found out about it and, threatening to raise a stink internationally, convinced the U.S. and other Western governments to put pressure on the South Africans not to go through with the test. The test was canceled. Yet, Pretoria went ahead and built a stockpile of 6 viable nukes, giving them up in 1989. It is claimed due to the end of apartheid, so Israel here helping build a stockpile for South Africa highly suggests, if not confirms, that Israel has its own stockpile and is a psychopathic welfare queen, nuclear-capable terrorist. Israel was also a key ally to the United States' Cold War campaign of violence and state terror in Latin America, known as Operation Condor. For decades, Israel helped train police, militaries, and death squads in the region to repress popular movements. Israel also served as a key conduit for supplying weapons to Latin America dictatorships as the U.S. Congress attempted to stem the flow from America. So where have we heard that Israel has trained United States police forces, other than in our news, in our own cities. And apparently they're training to repress your right to freely assemble and speak your mind. Such is the case of liberal democracy, they'll call it. Because repression is not evidence of the existence of a Republican form of representative government that the people are obligated to keep. Let me quote here, a regime like Israel should not have a seat at the table. They should be thrown out, said Peled, noting the documented mistreatment of Palestinians in Israeli prisons. Quote, Palestinian suffering has got to stop, and it's got to start from this point on and forever. I'd have to concur. It absolutely has to stop. That's why I'm not too clear about this so-called ceasefire. It just gives them more power to be there to fire it up again. But I'd have to say the answer would be, as I've been suggesting, to a rock outcropping in the South Pacific. And maybe China could blockade that as well, help out the rest of the world, and let Mother Nature and Davy Jones take care of them. As far as I can see, it needs to be happening. Again, this is so bad. Biden knew, shouldn't be a question. Everybody should have made it present that memory is not a factor. Article here, memory, many observers have noted that similarities between Israel's system of governance and the proposals of racial supremacists. Israel has once was even praised by American neo-Nazi activist Richard Spencer, who views the country's Jewish nation-state law as a model for his desired white ethno-state. The comment caused significant embarrassment for Zionist groups, who were quickly forced to distance themselves from the endorsement of the notorious neo-fascist. Quote, this is an insane state, an insane regime that's been involved in torture and genocide and all kinds of crazy sadistic policies for 76 years, he added. It is time to stop it forever. Not to bring it to the table, not to bring it to a point where it's over, it's ended. As I said before, I wouldn't attribute insanity as a reason. I wouldn't want to give them a defense, but yeah, here, you know my answer. Rock outcropping in the South Pacific seems perfectly fitting. Do it today. Peled, a former CIA officer here, closes. My friends in the pro-Palestinian movement, who are the most reliable in their support of Palestine by and large, happen to be Jewish, Kiriyoki said. There's not this Israel first mentality just because people happen to be Jewish. So I'll let hear the aware Jewish people speak for themselves through Kiriyoku and Peled regarding the Zionist abuser acting in their name. Abomination, folks. I can't get beyond that. But there it is, and people continue to allow it. But not to be outdone, what about here American military acting in the name of the people imposing demonocracy worldwide? As we see going on again, these proxy wars, so-called. Next proxy war, U.S. positions special forces 1 mile from Chinese mainland. We don't have enough trouble. The United States is going to stir it up some more. With this fall's presidential election fast approaching, President Joe Biden is presiding over two major U.S.-backed wars. One might assume the two unpopular wars are enough for any president. Not so, says analyst Steve Poikinen. Taiwan confirms presence of U.S. forces, said host Garland Nixon, reading the headline of a story reported by RT. Quote, U.S. special forces are stationed on some of Taiwan's outlying islands. Well, one of the groups of islands is called the Kinmen Islands. They're a little over a mile from the Chinese mainland shore, and the UN runs right up to the Russian border as there is a disaster in the Middle East. Quote, we've known that there are U.S. soldiers in Taiwan since they talked about sending training officers, he added. That's what they originally said about Vietnam. Oh, we're just sending some guys over to do a little bit of training. It's okay, they're going to be in a supervisory role or in an advisory capacity, but that's how all these conflicts start. Quote, these lunatics in the Biden administration are doubling down, tripling down. If they're isn't enough trouble. They're coming right up to China's border and looking for trouble. Taiwan is a province of the People of Republics of China, noted Kavanaugh, who maintains a Substack site, thepolemicist.net, quote, that is the stance of the international community of the UN. It's the stance of official stance of the United States government. This is as if China put a permanent presence of Chinese forces troops on Long Island. I mean, this is crazy. This is putting the American people in a trajectory toward war with China, and they, the Biden administration, seem to want it, warned Kavanaugh. Quote, what are they going to get from it? Really, think for 10 seconds about it. It's going to be a disaster for everybody. What more is to be said than misplaced loyalty lunatics in Washington? And again, I got to be soft on the lunatic side. Insanity is a defense. I don't want to give them that much. But remember, these so-called proxy wars, so-called because they are rooted in direct economic attacks first, is good for American jobs. Remember, they're attacking China now with sanctions as well. So they do this ahead of time. These are direct economic attacks. These are war already. We heard the same thing out of Ukraine, right? All the same type of setup, as he refers back to Vietnam. But so we have American jobs building weapons to kill people, so Americans don't feel as bad about their failed monetary and fiscal overlords plundering against them. Again, the economic war being waged at home since 1913. And the institution of this fiat system has been able to pretty much take out about purchasing power. That isn't, even though they devalued the gold somewhat, that isn't the same thing for gold. And so this is why I keep saying, as the price starts to go up, maybe it's kind of late to get too late. But you can't get it too late. You're going to have to get in there and get something. Maybe silver's the next thing. I noticed it went down. We're going to have an alternative system to work from. I actually don't know how to pull that together, how that's going to work. And so that's a limitation for me. Maybe somebody knows how to figure that out. We need to start transferring stuff over and start making use of this alternative that's not, again, doesn't suffer deficit. It doesn't suffer these kinds of problems. But remember, I don't think here the Chevron case in 1909, I think that was in 4 years before the Fed was made up, that the Supreme Court said something to the effect that the Corporate Tax Act didn't change, that the Corporate Tax Act was what was subject to tax prior, i.e. the corporations relative to the 1913, relative to 1909 and the Corporation Tax Act. The first taxation was during the Civil War, but expired at the Reconstruction. So the 1909 Act was an excise tax on the privilege of operating as a corporation. Now, this relates to the Treasury, not the Treasury, but just Treasury now, if you look carefully, it seems, but because there is no the Treasury actually for our purposes, and the subsequent Federal Reserve creation in 1913 into a fiat corporate debtors instrument system took the need of the Treasury away, actually. In some regard, we may think of Fort Knox, but as far as the system in place, again, it's the imposed system. What appears to have happened is that someone decided corporations are people too, and everything they own or derived from their property is presumed taxable, a source, and nobody left behind relative to that. So, it sounds familiar. Where we can see the origins of some of these things that came out. And subsequently, Congress enacts the 16th Amendment, which is said allowed taxation of this legal term individuals into which the prior corporate tax was maintained and added to individuals, which are now part of the tax code the IRS uses to bludgeon people with like little baby seals, they seem to think we are. And so, magically, the people became subject to tax, and everything they acquire subject to tax. And if the Beatles' Tax Man song comes to mind, I wouldn't blame you. But I said the word individuals is a legal term here. The individual interest of a shareholder was subject to tax in the 1913 Act, if I'm understanding correctly. go study and read for this stuff. Clarify what if I'm kind of off a little bit. But it was the shareholder. And here what seems to be expanded, if not silently, was the imposition of corporate character and therefore the subject to tax, that the legal term individual was the shareholder within the corporation, which the prior tax acts could not tax, and the individual became a any business generally. So a non-aggregated interest in a business is a commercial, is in commerce, is an individual. So we kind of put the street language on. We think an individual is us. We actually have sources, and what's defined in law stays there. And if we kind of bring it on over, we're attaching this stuff to us. And I'm not, I should better put a caveat. I'm not saying this is how you run and interpret the tax code. I'm saying read for this stuff and see this is the truth. And then you're going to have to rethink how this all works. And I also know if you get inside, get outside of that system, then you put yourself in a status that's accepted, the tax man can't come at you anyway. You just got to make sure you don't stick your toe over that little, when you're surfing that tsunami. But here all of a sudden on this, there is no need of corporate character, merely the status of a legal entity, which you'll see the class in the definition of, like, person. These are the classes, the status of a legal entity, not men and women. We do that to ourselves. So even the Bar Association commentary, critical in the Pollock case, was suggesting case law had moved on. It focused on corporate and individual, i.e. the shareholder, deriving something called income. So if one finds the state definition, it too is limited to things such as royalties, dividends, and rents, etc. More akin to shareholders, rents seems to be the outlier in this. But they did that through the commercialization of your property, and nobody said, wait a minute, I don't have ad valorem commercial property. I've got patent land, and you're not supposed to touch it. So what are you doing? And no one's done that. And it's going to be a lot harder to get things done and to get things properly set up, given this presumption that's against you, and that the occupier doesn't want you to know anyway. But why would they want you to understand this? And so it's better to set your paperwork up before you get there so that use it as a buffer so they can't come after you on this. Again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you to read for these things. And this is how we moved ourselves along in moving our whole lives into what doesn't look like any government anymore. Again, evil runs this world, and it gets away with it. And a lot of points are, who are you? You're presumed to be subject. You're being treated as the legal entity that we have power over. And not many people, you just can't say, I'm not. You have to develop how you're not and that you don't exist where they have authority. So when you look at the Title 42, 1981, it says those subject to the United States. Where is that? What is that? Find out what that is. Start to look at that. But here, moving this on, as we watch this, we call it clown world. This is way worse than clown world. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution equating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. There's talk about major convolutions on a very difficult subject, which we now see is in the news, and how they're covering over political movements that can come in and take out people, genocide them. And nobody seems to really have an answer for it. Zionist extremism is alive in both political parties. The Uniparty here is made up of foreign agents of the stupidest intentions here, the attention-getting, brown-nosing overachievers on the face of the earth. Here they are, certainly not worthy of representing the American people. And these people must resign by putting in this, the House of Representatives passing this definition. I would say they must resign for fraud and malfeasance in office. Nobody worthy of government office can be this stupid, I can't see, but they have been. And to confuse this 1800s political movement for groups of ancient people, such as the Palestinians, known to be Semitic, and referring to insult those ancient peoples in favoring a political movement of Zionists that cannot be Semitic, even by act of Congress. This is flying right by everybody when I saw this story. But we can just two House members did not vote in favor of resolution affirming Israel's right to exist. That's even a violation of international law. Remember, the Palestinians had self-determination. It was almost as if the government of Palestine that existed was going to be set up to take in, like an immigration. The border was supposed to be there for them to be assimilated. But neither here nor there on that. Let's go on with what's happening today. Completely destroying what the history is and what the law is. Introduced by Republican Representative Mike Lawler of New York, Lawlessler, in New York, the resolution affirms a variety of widely accepted facts about Israel and the Jewish people, including the atrocity of the Holocaust and the history of persecution of the Jews. However, the resolution made no mention of Palestinians, who have their own historical claims in the region. That should not be exclusive. But this confusing here the Jewish people with the Zionist Federation movement is fraud on its face. The Holocaust and the Jewish persecution are not relevant to Palestine, not acknowledging the international agreements, acknowledging the first, the self-determination here of the Palestinians, the people, and in Palestine is fraud by omission. Their fraudulent enactments are of no force and effect, actually, in a just Republican form of government. That they will be in a tyranny, and that we don't have any pushback shows we don't have that Republican form of government. Here, the uniparty members of this Zio party are in contempt of law and must really resign their office if we were to have a force of people. So these political prostitutes all even are all here the same. Even the two detractors, they're all panderers. Just saying no is not enough here. If these Zio party representatives, completely devoid of context, will disregard organic rights of the people elsewhere, how can my listener expect them to honor your organic rights? I don't think you can. And they just proved it. Despicable display here. Despicable disregard. These are the warmongering uniparty. So I don't see how we look out in the world and think any better of it all, and that it's going to get better. But it's all for American jobs, right? While your sons and daughters are going to die and paying for that. Oh, yeah, we got some troops, only they're stationed a mile away from China mainland. It's just despicable what's getting past people. And on to direct demonocracy. Don't badmouth the military. What can happen in the Siberian Gulag if you just can't get with the MasterCard pogrom? We can hear it today. Russia strips citizenship over disinformation about army for first time. Again, for those of you that don't quite get this, do not think it's over there. It's coming to a place near you really soon if it's not already there and just not been triggered. But a man convicted last summer of knowingly spreading disinformation about Russia's army has had its Russian citizenship rescinded. Moldova-born Alexander Somryakov was sentenced to 6 years in prison in July 2023 for spreading disinformation about the Russian army's actions in Ukraine after he published a message on his social network page that was unreliable and refuted by official sources of information. You'll remember what they did to COVID, the great COVID swindle, official sources of information. This guy loses his citizenship. The message here, folks, don't be Alexander. But how? At least don't knowingly spread disinformation. He said they tell you the answer right there. And this is where I suggest have a word in your mouth from the black and white and get you behind the woodshed when someone like this these come at you. But there's a caveat. Your lack of rights may vary. How can you tell? You can't. When you allow the sustainable bureaucrats of the they to make stuff up, this is where this is all going, you can suffer the banhammer banished from Siberian society. Or utopian citizenship. In the coming, inevitable, the they will insist neo-feudal future. I've written about this a long time ago. It's right here. You are banned from society for speaking out against official sources. And Russia just pulled that trigger. Now, I believe, if I read that, I can't remember now the total story. I think it's going to be for a term, I think, of that 6 years or sometime. I don't know that that was permanent, but there it is. Token citizenship, same thing. Same identical thing. Right here in the news already. But contrary to popular belief, U.S. is not a democracy, says Putin. The Russian leader has called for a political situation in America, a catastrophe. Speaking to journalists in Moscow early on Monday morning, shortly after preliminary results indicated he had was reelected to 87% of the vote in the Russian presidential election, Putin stated, the U.S. has become a global laughingstock by criticizing democratic processes in other nations while suppressing a presidential candidate in its own election. Quote, we are behaving with more restraint than their opponents in other countries, but this is just a catastrophe, not a democracy. That's what it is, the Russian leader added. Putin claimed that the current U.S. administration is using all its resources to attack a candidate for this year's presidential election, seemingly referring to Donald Trump. The former U.S. leader is facing a litany of lawsuits despite being the presumptive Republican nominee for the vote in November. Remember, we just heard that Biden's using this oil for the attacking of the resources, the production of Russia's oil products, but to say, don't do that because it's going to affect him politically. It's not just Trump. This is a catastrophe, Putin says. I almost have to agree, except for I don't know if it's, even if it's that good. Quote, I think it's obvious that to everyone that America's political system cannot claim to be democratic in any sense of the word, he said in an interview. Putin refused to comment further on the current presidential campaign in the U.S., but described the atmosphere as becoming increasingly uncivilized. Okay, there we go. They want to divide that, make that uncivilized. Civil war, right? And barbarity steps in. So we have new forms of government. If it's not a democracy, it must be a catastrophocracy, a laughingstockocracy, a hypocrisy, and all those seem about right anymore. But without any resistance in America as well, here in Russia, it will be the Siberian panopticonocracy. Except that maybe the United States can't quite press to World War III, given iPhones won't work, Russian MP says. I'm talking about something that some experts call World War III in this scenario. I fully expect that Apple will disable all iPhones in the Russian Federation and Google will disable non-jailbroken Android phones, he stated. Gorelkin is not the first person to suggest the possibility that Western gadgets will stop working in Russia. Various experts warned that such a scenario was technically possible for all devices that require software updates from companies abroad or have options to allow owners to remotely find and block a phone that has gone missing. Putin said that such a move would be seen as a Russian direct confrontation between NATO and Russia, which would be one step shy of full-scale World War III. But World War aside here, the astute listener should take note, one takeaway from that is universally applicable is of the exceptions and to work through those first, as we listen here to what they just said, assessing whether or not they will allow you to avoid a difficulty. They said an exception in this story. So if you immediately work to affect those exceptions to the liability to your life to minimize or eliminate your exposure to the potential vulnerability, you're going to be that much further ahead. What was the exception in that statement? I've mentioned one before. It's suggested in this article. The phones that are non-jailbroken will fall victim. There is an insight. Think about this too, in the digital panopticon, the Siberian gulag, to get some measure of freedom, one must perform a jailbreak. Jailbreaking and rooting and unlocking are generally synonymous, so you have priority access to better control of the phone, but you have much more anonymity as well when you get to the base layer of control. So this phone rooting is either DIY or can be purchased, but be sure you can trust the one who can do the routing, reconfiguring that phone maybe after routing so that you have it your way, not someone has put something on the phone, which can be tricky. Some phones are easier to do than others. It's quite an interesting thing, quite a process. But they tell us in this that Russia's concerned that all their phones will be taken out. I suggest you consider your phones can be taken out. And yet they say the exception is if they are non-jailbroke, they are accessible by those that will do this. Now, you've heard me say this, again, the savings provisions in law, such as the phrase, unless otherwise provided by law, but listen carefully, the saving provision that precedes or follows a clause in law which pits a diminishment of a right or due process, for instance, against the property or rights or things appurtenant to, once again, bring America back to you, where I also pointed out that was at the alternative dispute resolution. Unless otherwise provided by law, you will go through alternative dispute resolution in your social contract. Look for those exceptions I've been talking about. Here's one of them. In this sense, for the savings clause in law, I'll add, it's not just in law here. We find the savings provisions in technology. We're going to have to go those directions, and this is one of those stories that picks all this up for us. As we go through here, realizing, oh no, America's not a democracy. Well, he's going to be bringing in this cyber panopticonocracy himself. And so they're telling us what they're concerned about. And I also look at that maybe a strength, given we also know that we heard about the Tor browser early on, if they actually run out HTTPS and they kill it, then they kill it for everybody is something that they can't do. So you're hiding within the normal Achilles heels of the system on a large basis in what you're considering here. Another consequence of warmongering it's running the world into the stinking abyss. The CERN to cut ties with 500 Russian-linked scientists, hundreds of specialists will lose access to Large Hadron Collider, a spokesman for the organization told the agency. Now, here I'm thinking the funding and function of this facility is a bit dubious as these people fabricate to support, to reimagine reality, to support the future that they want. But that aside, look at how the consequences, taking special note here, that it seems Russia stopped financial support before that, and it doesn't really hurt the Russian scientists here, as they admit in this story, more than the CERN people, and then the science, the world of science generally. So read for this, how Russia just pulled out. They pulled away funding. They're taking their experts, their scientists to their country, and they're going to be using them. CERN's going to be incapacitated by it. The world of science is going to be incapacitated. But whatever my misgivings about CERN are, one way or the other. Here, the halt is a cooperation between Russia and CERN will slow down the development of science everywhere in the world. Pavlov Logachev, head of the Budkar Institute of Nuclear Physics of the Siberian branch Russian Agency Academy of Sciences told TASS on Tuesday, the standoff between Moscow and the West is impacting science as much as it impacts the global economy, he explained. Logachev said that those in charge at CERN are themselves, quote, not happy with the situation, but they have no other choice as they are dependent people. What truths are in these articles? You just keep reading. Look closely. Are you a dependent people? But before you answer that, consider the prior report about the vulnerability of your phones. And as I've said and observed, Russia for clues, I look here to see them, on what sovereign, non-dependent people can do, we read, the loss of access to the Large Hadron Collider won't become a tragedy for Russian scientists, as they have a lot of important, interesting things to do at home, he claimed. Because the Russian specialists can do their very important work at home, it's not a tragedy for the Russians. It's a tragedy for dependent people, those subject. Haven't I said, master not a debtor be? Who is buttering the bread here? And owns the other side of that, who owns the loaf? And it's manufactured to boot. You have to be the non-dependent producer, folks. what this thing is telling me here. This concerning situation here being no different than that Russia was bolstered by sanctions, not diminished, as the West enjoys warring by spitting into the self-inflicted economic hurricane, or himicane if you're needy. Listen to the lessons that are going on here. They're right in front of us. As I waited too long again, but I'll say it anyway. For those of you that came in after the hour, this is BTWRLM 569, and you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. That clear in my mind. Yes, that clear. How you're going to do that and when, that's up to you. You really got to move hard. They're moving faster than us right now, but anyway, scientists are going to be concerned if they're dependent. Our whole system, Western system, is dependent. But Russia's going to be fine. Again, blowback is not, is a thing that's happening to those that try to control others. And sanctions is one of those economic hits. This time you see Russia pull back their funding, and they're going to take their people home, and the world suffers now. Russia's not worried about it. Because science knows best, South Korean scientists create lab-grown beef as a sustainable source of protein. Researchers in South Korea have successfully infused raw grains of rice with beef cells to create what they believe is a sustainable, affordable, and environmentally friendly source of protein. And you can believe it's sustainable and friendly too, folks. The protein-rich grain, which looks like fluffy pink rice, was first coated in fish gelatin, allowing the beef muscle and beef fat cells to attach to the grain. Then researchers inserted cow muscle and fat stem cells into the rice grain, which was left to culture in a petri dish for 9 to 11 days. Quote, imagine obtaining all the nutrients we need from cell-cultured protein rice, primary author Soyeon Park said on Wednesday. Quote, rice already has a high nutrient level, but adding cells from livestock can further boost it. Imagine, folks, and keep imagining. We usually obtain the protein we need from livestock, but livestock production consumes a lot of resource into water and releases a lot of greenhouse gases, Park said. And a lot of time and money trying to make meat a fraud. That's right, meat a fraud. Come on. What's your beef with that pun? Come on. Hey, we cook the rice for it retains its traditional appearance, but carries a unique blend of aromas, including a slight nuttiness of umami, which are characteristic of meat, said Hong. While it does not exactly replicate the taste of beef, it offers a pleasant and novel flavor experience. Imagine, folks. You have to imagine. Imagine. Because it's just nutty and beefy-like, but not exactly. And meets those all-importantly fraudulent sustainability goals. And there's more for the future that they want. He says, I didn't expect the cell to grow so well in rice, says Park. Now I see a world of possibilities for this grain-based hybrid food. It could one day serve as a food relief for famine, military ration, or even space food. It sounds like militarized space is the place, folks. And I can only already hear Elon Musk placing a sustainability hybrid food order. Can't you? Because science brings us hope and change. Maybe our bodies hope for a cure. Scientists successfully remove HIV from cells. Researchers have successfully removed HIV from infected cells using a novel technique, raising hopes of a cure. I find it funny that they can say cure. Everybody else can't. But a 2020 Nobel Prize-winning gene editing method promises to advance the cure of HIV, halting the need for long-term antiviral medication. However, challenges remain around the complexity of eradicating HIV from all infected cells. I hope you're hearing Fauci and all this and how long ago, 1980s, this has been coming through and what they've been doing as evidence through the great COVID swindle. The team here was able to pick out hidden HIV storage cells, focusing on distinct proteins lodged on these cell surfaces. Scientists from the University of Amsterdam employed the Nobel Prize-winning gene editing tool CRISPR-Cas9. Gene editor here is used to change animal and plant and microorganisms' DNAs with extremely high precision. I hope those of you listening to me have picked up all the problems that are talked on and the coincidence of this with the materials of the great Covey swindle. We understand CRISPR-Cas9 is high precision. It isn't high precision enough to stop the unintended consequences that CRISPR-Cas9 causes. But here, let's get to the punchline at the bottom of the story. HIV infects immune system cells, hijacking their genetic replication system to make copies of itself. Despite effective treatment, some cells entered a form of hibernation, harboring HIV DNA without actively producing a new virus. So doesn't that replication system sound identical to the software of life jabs ongoing through the great Covey swindle delivered at warp speed? So this article further explains the HIV they programmed in, it keeps replicating. Not much different sounding as the Covey jabs, is it? The eliminating HIV, or how about any other novel protein string, as we've heard, from all the infected cells in the body was extremely challenging for those of you that may have gotten the jab. And hopefully there was no spreading through sneezing and all that stuff. And I'm not so sure one way or the other, but at any rate, it's extremely challenging to get out. So understand the software of life that they injected at warp speed may be a little bit to get rid of. You've got to get on it pretty quick. He says then further, they had further admitted in this story that assuming that this novel treatment can be shown effective. That was like the killer punchline line right there. Given whether or not this novel treatment can be shown to be effective. All of this is a big experiment. This is pushing the same gene-modified weapons to cure the gene-modifying weapons they promoted and injected at warp speed to modify your genes to the creature that they want you to be, programmed by the software of life, privately owned by a proprietary of the they at that, if you remember about their coding, is novel and patented. One novel thing that looks like it puts both man and beast at risk, we see a story I couldn't get to quite a while. It popped up, and we'll talk about it right now. Nanoplastics linked to an increase in heart attacks and strokes, says a study. Roughly a week ago, it was reported that the boiling one's water, you remember when I told you that story, could help reduce the amount of microplastics in it by nearly 90% as long as the water is hard water. At the time, scientists were still studying the extent to which nanoplastics could cause harm to one's body. Nanoplastics now, folks. A new study says that people with nanoplastics inside their bodies are 4.5 times more likely to suffer from a heart attack, stroke, or die of other health-related things than people without them, scientists say. These NMPs, about the size of a virus, are the perfect size to adversely affect how human cells function and are capable of passing through key protective filters in one's body, including intestinal lining and blood-brain barrier. Note to self, the jabs likely contain nanopolymers, and not the plastic pieces shown sticking to the fingertip of this picture. Nano, smaller than microscopic. Remember, so small that gobs and bunches of these particles can exist without clouding a liquid, which looks clear, just as we read occurs in the very specially made emulsions of the lipid polymer-protected proteins designed to pass through key protective filters in one's body. And having concerns over the next 3 years is consistent with the jabs. Some life expectancies here are within the same range in this report, after which time heart attack, stroke are not a factor because one is dead. As it says, 4.5 times more likely to die. As the guy behind the witch had predicted years ago, the great Covey swindle cover-up would happen. We see the researchers studied a group of patients who are already scheduled to undergo surgery for a condition known as carotid arteries stenosis, which occurs when the carotid arteries the main blood vessels that carry blood and oxygen to the brain become narrowed after plaque or fatty deposits block normal blood flow. These arteries typically help supply the blood to the brain, face, and neck. You don't say. And remember the reactive pegylated constituents of that? That polyethylene glycol, the PEG we talked about? The majority of the particles were composed of either polyethylene, which is commonly used and is often found in food packaging, shopping bags, and medical tubing. And jabs. Those Kobe Swindle bioweapons under cover of a vaccine for an infectious agent they never non-fraudulently demonstrated to exist. Yep, as a matter of law, no organic organism, no dual use is stopping them from being the bioweapon they are. And it's curiouser and curiouser for the mentally handicapped or the cohorts in organized crime cover-up on this as well. Researchers are curious as to how the 40% of the participants showed no evidence of microplastics in their plaques, given the microplastics are ubiquitous. One of the study's co-authors say it could be that the participants behaved differently. Now, let us toss into this word salad bowl to identify the obvious. Plastic is not ubiquitous then. In finding polyethylene, not by exploring the possible contributions of mRNA bioweapons, seems to indicate 40% of those studies behaved differently. Like maybe didn't get the jab, didn't behave past the initial jab, or took measures to undo the damage the jab was about to do to them. Who knows? Now that last paragraph was a grant in job security that they're pining for some more money to do the very same thing, to just do this. I can't believe it's not a cover-up. And you start looking at it, it's talking just like the Kobe Swindle properties and just with the same type of materials there when you start to look at what they were. I went through all that. Here another government gift that can cause one a heart attack. Knock at the door at 4 in the morning. Must have just gotten arrested without a warrant in Kanukistan here. Police now need a warrant to get a person's IP address, says the Supreme Court. So, ruling states that you, under charter, there is a reasonable expectation of privacy associated with IP addresses. The Supreme Court of Canada made a key privacy ruling Friday that means police must now first have a warrant or court order to obtain the numbers making up a person's organization's IP address. In a 4-5-4 split decision, the court said a reasonable expectation of privacy is attached to the numbers making up a person's IP address, and just getting those numbers alone constitutes a search. The court's decision is based on the case of Andrei Bykovets, who was convicted on 14 online fraud offenses for purchases made from an Alberta liquor store. The ruling said the privacy interest cannot be limited to what the IP address can reveal on its own, quote, without consideration of what it can reveal in combination with other available information, particularly from third-party websites. So my listener can read the reasons and dissent at the links in the blogcaster, or at the live video syndication of various platforms that you'll find in the link tree lists for those. I post one at the beginning of the broadcast on X so you can see it when you can go and get to the other simulcasts are going on. Read for what they're talking about there. We do now have, at least in Kanukistan, you can argue for this from there, being the rule of law and democracy and all, that they are saying that they are privacy related. But about avoiding the next Disease X jab, to be blamed on nanoplastic, I suppose, making sure every official has a lawful warrant, I tracked down a translation following a link at the Suspect Sky Crew video on Rumble, which is the decision from that Portuguese case I mentioned back in 2020, with those German tourists, who were quarantined in their hotel rooms and used the habeas corpus to challenge their detention. And I found the translation to the summary from which I wanted to refer and read to you. This is still ongoing with all this pressure they're doing on us. When you see this other discussion and the so-called cures, and it's all in the same fraud-chi regime, fraud-chi organized conspiracy, fraud-organized criminal elements. This is not really going to go away. This is going to be promoted. Again, cures without finding non-fraudulent infectious agents is really dangerous to begin with. But here, reading the translated summary, judgment of the Lisbon Court of Appeal process, the habeas corpus, interest in acting SARS-CoV-2, RT-PCR test, deprivation of freedom, illegal detention. Summary, the ARS, which is the health organization there, cannot appeal a decision. Listen very carefully, folks, about your rights and how powerful they are, and they preclude any action, and they preclude it definitively in the habeas corpus, which is a hybrid action, equity and common law, if the official cannot show why they hold the body in law with a warrant. How fast this is and how determined it is that the ARS cannot appeal a decision that ordered the immediate release of four people due to illegal detention within the scope of habeas corpus process and D of the CP and penal code requesting that the confinement be validated mandatory for applicants as they carry the SARS-CoV-2 virus and are under active surveillance due to high-risk exposure decreed by health authorities. There's references here as well. When you get it, you can see, maybe go through it. It's in Portuguese, so I'm only reading the translated English so I can get this part of it out. This is the decreed by the health authorities for not having legitimacy or interest in acting. The request made would also be manifestly unfound because prescription and diagnosis are medical acts, the exclusive responsibility of a doctor registered with the medical association. Thus, the prescription of auxiliary diagnostic methods, as in the case with viral infection detection tests, as well as the diagnosis of the existence of the disease, is related to any and all people as a matter that cannot be carried out by law, resolution, decree, regulation, or any other normative means, as these are acts that our legal system reserves to the exclusive competence of a doctor, given that he, when advising his patient, must also try to obtain his informed consent. This, they refer to the Universal Declaration of Bioethics of Human Rights. Please compare what I've said in the past and to this decision that was done back in 2020. And I told you the way they went out on this that we had heard through the news was a very big deal. And then you never heard too much more about it. But because it's not going away, disease X is perpetual endless disease. I thought this was important when I ran across this. When I saw that there was English written for it, I wanted to read it to you. And I don't mind going back for this because it's exactly what I was telling you about the habeas corpus. They give you the standards. They give you the... They don't talk about it in the way I did as far as the burden being on the officer or agent that's the sheriff or even so. The burden is on that body in order to give warrant for the body. And this court's come in and said that they didn't in all these different ways. In the case at hand, there is no indication of proof that such a diagnosis was actually carried out by a professional qualified under the terms of the law and who had acted in accordance with good medical practice. In fact, what follows from the facts as established is that none of the applicants was even seen by a doctor, which is frankly inexplicable given the alleged severity of the infection. What did I say to you? Go to the duties. And I told you this all starts with a suspicious report from the doctor. That's where it started. This is really an interesting decision, right down the law, just right through it. The only element that appears to be proven facts in this regard is the carrying out of the RT-PCR test, one of which showed a positive result in relation to one of the applicants. In review of the current scientific evidence, this test alone proves to be incapable of determining without a reasonable margin of doubt that such positivity corresponds, in fact, to a person's infection with SARS-CoV-2 virus for several reasons, of which we highlighted two. Plus the issue of the gold standard, which, due to its specificity, we will not even address, because this reliability depends on the number of cycles that make up the test, because this reliability depends on the amount of viral load present. Any diagnosis or any act of health surveillance, as is in this case with the determination of the existence of viral infection and high risk of exposure, which is are covered by these concepts, carried out without prior medical observation of the patients and without the intervention of a doctor registered with the OM, who carry out the assessment on their signs and symptoms, as well as the examination that we considered appropriate to his condition, violates regulation number functions, Article 358 of the C Panel Penal 4. Any person or entity that issues an order the content of which leads to the deprivation of physical, ambulatory, or other person's freedom, whatever nomenclature this order assumes, confinement, isolation, quarantine, prophylactic protection, health surveillance, etc., which does not comply with the legal provisions, namely the provisions of Article 47 CRP, will be carrying out an illegal detention because it was ordered by an incompetent entity and because it was motivated by a fact which the law does not allow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you saw all of that discussed through your laws. If you just read them, I want you to get this link. Hopefully get it so you can get the summary. Copy this and paste this in, and you can use this in your own, conform it to your own statement on the, how your liberty restraint is wrong, and use this as a lead. Start it out and then apply it to your local law. And I got back to the original report that I had found, I think it was, just to give you some context so you can see what was being said at the time by someone who started to pick this up. One of the original reports, then for reference for you, landmark legal ruling finds the COVID tests are not fit for purpose. So what does the MSM do? They ignore it. So this is a fraud by omission. And we talked about this is a misinformation by omission as well. But here we have the explanation for it, so you can tie it in. The four German holidaymakers who were illegally quarantined in Portugal after one of them was judged to be positive for COVID-19 have won their case in a verdict that condemns the widely used PCR test as being up to 97% unreliable. So you can read the rest of that story. I just want to bring it back. Just as we keep moving through this thing, we're not helpless. The continuation of what they want, all these things, all that was brought in to bring this on, and there was no purpose for it, and it could have been stopped in its tracks had all courts been as straightforward as the Portugal court. Now, they got condemned by the experts and the scientists, but the experts and scientists don't have jurisdiction over law, matters of law, that aren't even like an opinion here. They went right down, I could just read that and say, they went right down the law and found none of that was done. What I told you at the time was this court, for the first time, declared the doctor to be the party with exclusive jurisdiction. So the rest cannot have jurisdiction. So, very powerful stuff here. Anyway, being on the coast of Atlantic Ocean, near the Mediterranean Sea, I wonder if the habeas corpus will free the people from Portugal from the record ocean heat over the last year, worrying scientists as they seek answers. Seek answers. These are the same clowns saying they know the oceans are going to boil, and we are all going to bake due to the 3-degree rise in temperature 80 years from now. And I just saw something like a 50-degree variation in the overnight temperatures as well here. So, I mean, yes, there is a night, and it cools off and a lot, like maybe below freezing sometimes. So in this word salad, lettuce toss in a couple of more tasteless ingredients showing maybe Chef Ramsay needs to throw them out of Hell's Kitchen. They need to cut the mustard. They don't cut the mustard as it were, quote, I pray, the scientist, I pray we're having a once-in-a-lifetime year of hot sea surface temperatures, but I do fear there may be something else going on and is causing a long-term change in sea surface temperatures. We hadn't predicted, said John Abraham, a professor at University of St. Thomas who studies ocean temperatures. Quote, all bets are off. This is something that is so unusual, it's changing our past expectations. Did you hear the hymns of the Green Religion? I pray and I fear. Is it beyond expectation, folks? These Gaia goobers said that they expected the temps to rise. So why the hang-wringing all of it? Why, folks, why? Well, the answer is in the article, if you read. They tell us, climate models have predicted a steady sea rise in sea surface temperatures, but none that have seen a rise this sharp. natural climate patterns like El Nino and La Nina have also had an effect on ocean surface temperatures. Oh, those Michael Mann made up global warming models, you think? The models failed. These Gaia goobers again. The sea levels haven't risen. And this is the time Mother Nature outperforms all expectations, which should have made them happy, you'd think. But they are being exposed. We quote, what we see now driving the temperatures is something in addition to El Nino and can't be explained by the arguments being given 6 months ago or 12 months ago, Abrams said. Sea surface temperatures are higher elsewhere and very far from El Nino locations. They just don't know why, folks. How dare you? We're kind of all just observing something strange happening, said McNulty. At some point, someone will come up with an answer, but I haven't seen that answer yet. But in all their ignorance of how this creation works, they won't humble themselves and become good observers. They'll prematurely advance a theory to make themselves sound relevant and useful. In the article, it says El Nino is reaching its end, though some researchers have hypothesized other factors could be affecting these rising temperatures. Oh, the other factors, canard. In other words, our theory is we don't know, but this is caused by other factors we don't know about. If people believe this fearful prey to Gaia clowns or this author, then I would just say to a rock outcropping with you in the South China Sea. But I don't want to point out another feature tactic used in this article here. I do want to point out, notice the models are brought after they recite official scientific-sounding temperatures and history as facts. When we read Europe's current Copernicus satellite monitoring program also found that sea temperatures in February were hotter than any other month in history and broke records set last August. This tends to legitimize the models these clowns learned from that Michael Mann made up. And another point is all based on the official sounding temperature history. They don't tell you what that is. If they were to admit to it, they'd have to admit that history is like looking through their history, like looking through a tiny straw at a timeline that dwarfs the history they're looking at, the history so-called, which, if included, the highest temperatures found from other sources indicates peak temperatures on line graphs, which would tower like Mount Everest over the temperatures these molehill people are looking at in their straw and heat valley cooling period relative to Earth's age and history, not merely since the middle 1800s. We're talking geologic time now that the scientists are only looking not comparing to their little straw they look at. But at least they mentioned El Nino. That warrants a little bit of credibility. Maybe. I can't believe all this stuff. They'll tell you they don't know a first thing about anything, and yet they'll continue to theorize as well. But apparently a warrant isn't needed to rely on Jesus Christ by an illegal belligerent committing genocide, and the simple question turns into more deception in the justification to murder. As I see Satan Yehu's Zionist annihilation program at work, Israelis and Palestinians argue, what would Jesus do? And the media is very interesting on what it tries to pull together. Very interesting things going on these day and age. And at any rate, as the Gaza War turns 5 months old, the two sides launch a Christian dispute. Of all things, folks. Palestinian diplomat Raheem Barghouti first invoked the memory of Jesus of Nazareth as a session of the Human Rights Council earlier this week when condemning the Israeli military actions in Gaza that have killed over 30,000 people and injured another 70,000 so far. Quote, Jesus was born in Palestine, and if Jesus were alive, he would cry his soul out due to the killing of the children in the land where he was born, Barghouti said. A 14-second video that remark was shared by the Israeli foreign minister on their Russian language telegram, along with a scathing condemnation. Quote, Palestinian representatives at the UN are again telling lies. Jesus was a Jew born in Judea and would have been brutally killed by Hamas or taken hostage on October 7th. The Palestinian delegation to the UN would applaud these crimes as they do now, the minister said. Is that all true, folks? Is it? Why do they focus on October 7th when they've been there since the 40s and wrongly even before implanted in the 20s? But would that be the truth? We've discussed this before, and I went to the maps and I went to whatever few things I was referring to when I was talking about who has the land. We're talking about from property here. And there's been a promotion that Bethlehem was in Judea, and yet the maps that I could find, all the ones I could find, says it was not in Judea. And remember, these are names of the sons and two grandsons of Israel, the man Israel, that was born of Abraham, which shows you the Zionist movement saying they're an Abrahamic religion from Abraham, and wrong right off the bat. But getting back to the land, I haven't found a map yet to show that Bethlehem was in other than Benjamin, their little area there, not Judea, which is just south, 10 miles. Okay, so was he a Jew? Well, it says he was born in Nazareth. He was bearing the parents of Nazareth. They were down what? To do taxation. Well, think about that. Christians believe Jesus was born to a Jewish family from Nazareth, now the largest city in the northern district of Israel. Bethlehem, the little town of Christ's birth, was located at the time in the Roman-dominated Herodian kingdom. It is now a city approximately 10 kilometers south of divided Jerusalem in the Palestinian-governed West Bank, which has historically dominated by Arab Christians and now has an Arab-Muslim majority. While Jews reject the notion of Christ's divinity entirely, Muslims believe he was one of the great prophets and the precursor to Muhammad. A chapter of the Quran is dedicated to his mother, Mary, which they also bring up, and almost as equal, or actually speak more equal, like the Catholic Church does. But when I get back to this condition, where they say Jesus was a Jew, I don't believe that's the truth. He wasn't born in Judea, as the minister says. But I find it fascinating, these two people will bring in a third religion to reference, however accurate it is. And so I wonder, just not really too much of a wonder, but more rhetorically, what is the acknowledgement of the authority here already? And my reading of certain things says that the Jews are chosen. They were chosen first, and then they rejected God. Then they also caused Christ to go where he went, to be resurrected for the purpose that the chosen rejected, and now they're really not the chosen unless they choose again to be saved through the death and resurrection of Christ. And the Jews then are, they're chosen all right, but they're chosen as a, if you will, the children of Satan because of these things. And so and this is not to say Jews are not that. What I'm saying, because we don't know, we won't have the ability to make that choice. That's not ours to choose. The Zionist political movement cannot dictate any of this to begin with. And then they misstate it. And there's enough questions. I have enough questions. I'm talking like my studies. I have enough questions still. But to have a political movement give air in a secular system like the world, the UN, that starts stating things that are not truthful against a simple question, what would Jesus do? We can only surmise anyway. But the point being overthrown, that certainly anybody that's moral cannot allow the children to be hurt. It says in the book that a Christian would look at, do not harm the hair on the head of a child. You can't know what can come against you when you do that. So there's a whole lot more study on this, but I found this to be quite interesting that the Muslim religion and the Jewish religion, so-called, again, the Zionists are speaking here, are referring to Christianity, Christian. I have a problem with the word Christianity, but no, neither here nor there. We have, again, we see in the Christian view that Satan Yehu is that. And you see that force, that power comes in the world and destroys. It deceives and destroys. I've talked about this before as well. Now, I'm certainly open to more education and things, but I think I don't, again, I'm not too far off. I also understand that there's not much that can be brought. All of our sources are tainted. I'm understanding that the Greek version of this Bible, where just go to the Greek, go to this, go to that, they're all tainted. The Greek, I think, if I remembered right, and I wish I could remember more of these words, these groups, was translated by a Hebrew group, a Jewish group of people with view to advance the Torah, I think it was. And so we are very in trouble if we try to get too direct with the proofs. I know they say the word of God, this and that and the other. I can just tell you by honest study, I can trust the real word. I can trust, let's say, the Spirit to give you lesson, give you guidance. That's probably our power. But the word is not the word. The word might be the word of God, but it's what we're seeing is not the word necessarily of God. It's our interpretation through other interpreters, through language problems. I just found this very interesting. Two religions look at a third for reference. And one has a problem that Christ, Jesus Christ, would be appalled, at least, that children are dying. I just fascinating. And they deny it. These Satan Yehu people deny it. It's got to be just evil. You know him when you see him, folks. Why is that such a hard concept? These folks that are just the evil in the world, the evil come for a time to run roughshod. If we can't see that, then we can't stand up immediately against it. We are a fallen world. I'm not sure anybody then has the right to say anything like what I'm reading in this story by either side. It's not up to us. But we have to be good to each other, I think. I think we can take stock in doing those things, if you will, the good book could tell us, and we should follow that. I think that's a whole lot more what I'm looking at in the world, that we watch genocide going on right in front of our eyes, and all that people can do is what, the gnashing of teeth. It's scratching and crawling. Just despicable. Just despicable. That somebody would have a question of what would Jesus Christ think against the killing of children? They would say, well, he's not yours. Fascinating. I don't know. I try to get away from philosophical thoughts, but when I look in the world and I see these are the examples that are being promoted, and they're arguing over the killing of children, and one group says it's okay, there's no innocence, and the other group is simply asking a question, and they get attacked. And the killing goes on. It's really quite... What do you say? It's just not right. Anyway, hope something I said opened your eyes, get you pointed around, these new ways, things. You get, for those of us that are looking to protect ourselves, position ourselves so that we avoid things. We don't want to get engaged with the fight. But we don't want to be false witnessed against either. And so we have to stand up for ourselves. And that's standing up for the truth as well. So I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.